Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 15. Proverbs 15. As we continue going through this blessed book, I never want to forget that Proverbs, parables, this is the way that the Lord taught. This is the way He spoke. The Scripture says that without parables, He didn't teach. And I pray that this morning we might hear, because this is the way that God speaks to His people. Here is the voice of the Lord Jesus. He said, "My sheep hear My voice. They follow Me. I know them." This voice, blessed by the Spirit of God, is how we hear. Verse 11, Proverbs 15, the Scripture sets forth, "Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more then the hearts of the children of men?" Now, as creatures of the dust, and we all are, we know very little. We see very little. We understand very little. The Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13:9, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." There are things that I preach that I just don't understand the fullness. By faith, I believe it. There is one God. I know that. I know there's one God. And one God has manifested that He is three persons. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that. And I don't understand it. My mind just cannot. I know that whenever the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist, I know that the Scripture says that John beheld the Spirit descend like a dove. And a voice was heard out of heaven that said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." The Lord Jesus Christ being referred to. The Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, "You see Me? You've seen the Father. I and My Father are one. One in purpose, one in will. Two persons." I don't understand that. I believe that. 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Our Lord knows what's best for us to know at any particular time. John 16:12, He said, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Lord, what is it that You are pleased to withhold from my understanding? Whatever He's pleased to withhold. 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." So I know this, according to the Scriptures. Here we are this morning. God's sheep assemble themselves together, recognizing all the time that we know very little. We want to know. We desire to know. That I might know Him. That I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to hear His voice. I want to hear what God has to say. I go through these scriptures, and there'll be times that I know that I'm wanting to take the scriptures as the Lord wrote them, as the Spirit of God set them forth. I want to go through Proverbs. I want to go verse by verse. I want to take every verse. I would desire Hebrews, the Gospel of John. But then there's times that I'll read something and my heart is impressed. And I'll ask, and I'm serious. Lord, is this where I'm supposed to be? I will try to read some times at the house. I don't even know where to turn. Lord, would you direct my heart? I know You do. I know that, Lord, you order all things. Lord, You can direct. I'd like to know where do I read? Where do I open? Do I just open it? Lord? No, it's best for me to ask. Ask. You have not because you ask not. So I know as finite creatures, we are but of yesterday. The Scripture says, Job 8, 9, and know nothing. Because our days upon earth are a shadow. I know that. I'm getting older. Life's a vapor. Just a mist. I know we're ignorant. But I know according to this scripture, Proverbs 15:11, concerning the Lord of glory. I know this. He knows everything. He knows everything. His omniscience. That means God knows. He knows all. Here is the fact of His omniscience. His all-knowingness. The Scripture says, hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men. Now the word hell there. The word is Sheol. And it means not only the place of departed souls who have died in rebellion against God. There's a place. There's a temporary place right now. And the Scripture refers to it as hell. It's a temporary place. It's a temporary holding place. It is a place where the souls of those that have not cried out for mercy before God Almighty, it's those that have left this world without a substitute. The rich man and Lazarus, the rich man fared sumptuously every day. Lazarus, Scripture says he was just a poor beggar. He sat out on the streets, scratched him his sores that the dogs licked, scratched them with, you know, with pieces of pottery. And the rich man died, and so did Lazarus. Lazarus went to be in the bosom of Abraham, a description of security, peace, being with the Lord. And the rich man died and lifted up his eyes out of hell. And we have in that description of what happened, we have an indication of what hell is. He lifted up his eyes out of the flames. He said, I'm tormented in this place. It's a place where the worm, the Scripture says, dieth not. And men are not consumed. It's a second, it's a death, it's a different death, different type of death. And souls are kept in that place called hell. The reason I said it was temporary, because the Scripture says in the day of judgment, God Almighty is going to throw into the lake of fire. Satan and hell. There's going to be a removal of it. God's going to do something with it. And I'm just repeating what the Lord says as an ambassador. That's I'm just a voice. I'm just saying this is what God said He's going to do. So hell, Sheol. It does mean that place, that holding place of those departed saints. But it also means death. Death. Physical, spiritual, eternal. Death with all of its consequences are known unto the Lord. Whenever a soul leaves, I don't know if you've ever been in the presence of someone. If you have, you'll know what I'm talking about. Before a person dies, there's a look about them when they're alive. There's a look about them. Especially if they happen to have their eyes open, they're looking back. I mean, you look at them and they're looking back at you. But I'm telling you, the moment a person dies, those eyes may be open, but they're not the same. They're not looking back. It's different. They're gone. The soul is gone. And that person, when that soul leaves the body, when those eyes don't look back with life, I don't know where they are. I don't know what happened. There's some things that I do understand that are revealed in Scripture. I just talked about just a moment ago. The rich man Lazarus, they both died. And I can say with some assurity that those that die in the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Those that die without Christ, absent from the body, they lifted up their eyes out of hell. I know that. But do you know, outside of that, I really don't know what happened. I don't know where they are. But our Lord knows. The Scripture says that hell, Sheol, death, is before Him. The Adam of every person that's ever been created, made, He knows. Had a boy that went to school with my kids in high school, and he was on an excursion. He went over to the Mediterranean. They were in that area. It was a kind of a school thing, something. And he was during that school sponsored thing, a storm came up and washed that boy off that boat, and they never found him. I don't know what happened to him. We could only speculate what would happen to him, what would happen to that body, what would happen. People, you know, in war and explosions, atomic bomb dropped on Japan, just annihilation, just disintegration. I don't know where every atom is of every person, but Almighty God does. And in that day when the trump of God sounds and God Almighty calls back every person that has ever walked on this earth, God Almighty is going to bring every person, every atom, because He knows where they are. He knows. Death is before God Almighty. And in that day, He's going to bring it all back. And every man, every woman that has ever lived on this earth is going to stand before Him. The Scripture sets forth Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. living, unliving. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. God Almighty beholds hell. Hell, death, the grave is before the Lord. Secondly, destruction are before the Lord. Hell and destruction. Now that word there, destruction, the word is actually Abaddon. A-B-A-D-D-O-N. Abaddon. And that word right there really is the key to what is being said right here. Destruction. That word right there is actually a name of Satan. Abaddon. And that word right there, destruction, is setting forth that Almighty God beholds everything of rebellion that's going on, of whom Satan is the father. The workings of Satan in this world and his followers of false religion is before the eyes of God. And I'll tell you how Satan is manifest in this world. Now we know that there's a devil. But how is he manifest in this world? Turn to Revelation chapter 9. I'll tell you how he's manifest. I'll tell you, this is the Revelation 9, verse 1. Here's the manifestation of Satan. We went through this blessed book of Revelation. I'll read this and make a couple of comments on it, not in the depth that we tried to go before. Revelation 9, verse 1 through verse 11. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke the locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion which striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death, shall not find it, shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. The sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses running to battle. They had tails like unto scorpions. There were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. They had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, Scripture sets forth that Satan was cast out of heaven because of rebellion. Satan and one third of all the angels created by God cast out of heaven. And a key was given, that star that fell from heaven. A key of limited authority, limited power, was given him over the bottomless pit. Now, there is no bottom to the pit of man's rebellion against God. And this scripture says that Satan opened this pit with that key of limited authority. Satan can do what God allows him to do only. And the scripture says when he opened up that bottomless pit, smoke, the smoke of deception came out of that bottomless pit. And these locusts came out of there. It was a description are false preachers. Locusts, what they are, who crept in unaware. Locusts, you know, you think of locusts, it just comes through the land and just devastates. It has, you know, it's just nothing that locusts, if they get a hold of a field, you know, they'll just wipe it out. I mean, it's just destruction. Famine's what's created. So they're referred to as locusts. And these locusts, they're like the wolves. Deceivers. They're in sheep's clothing. These locusts, they sting men. These locusts were not real locusts. They weren't there to hurt the grass and the trees like we do, but they were after and had power over those that didn't have the seal of the Lord in their heads. Those that didn't have the mind of Christ. New mind, new heart, new understanding. And they came in the sting, but their sting is the venomous poison of false doctrine. That's what they sting. That free will works religion. And they have a leader, Abaddon, who's the one that fell out of heaven. Satan. Abaddon means destruction. In the Greek he's called Apollyon, or the destroyer. So back in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 11, the scripture sets forth that hell, death, everything concerning death and destruction, Satan himself, who goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he's before the Lord. Almighty God knows what's going on. Almighty God sees. Almighty God directs. Almighty God orders. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. And also, how much more then the hearts of the children of men. He who knows what shall happen knows the source of it, because he knows all men. And this omniscience of Almighty God, it exposes all false refuge. Turn with me to Isaiah 28. God Almighty, in his omniscience, exposes, sets forth, knows what will happen. Because he knows the source of it, he knows. Men are not hid. Isaiah 28, verse 14 to 18. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we've made a covenant with death, with hell, are we at agreement? When men say, I know this, I'm right with God, I've made my peace with the Lord, I've made my reconciliation by my decision, by my will, he said, because you say, we have made a covenant with death. I'm going to tell you something. There's one covenant that David said, I have hope. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered and sure in all things. David said, this is all my salvation, what God purposed, what God willed. Because ye say, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. He says, when the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we've made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. I looked that up to find out, what does that mean? Shall not make haste. It means he shall not be ashamed. He said, I've laid in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, sure foundation. He that believeth is not going to be ashamed. Judgment, the Lord said also, will I lay to the line in righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge, the judgment of God shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. To all mockers, to all those that scorn God's word, unbelieve, those that resist concerning the glorious report of the Lord Jesus Christ, to all who leave this world trusting in themselves that they're righteous, trusting in a refuge of lies, a false refuge built upon the sands of man's impotent will and ability and decision, to all that refuse the foundation Himself, Christ, the chief cornerstone, no hope. No hope. The hearts of men are before the Lord. No one hides from God. No one resists. The books, the Scripture says, are going to be opened. God Almighty knows. You're not fooling Him. Nobody's fooling Him. Oh, I read these words and it causes me to think afresh, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lord, don't. Lord, help me. God, have mercy on me. He that cometh, to whom coming, don't look back. Don't look back thinking, well, I made my peace with God a few years ago. I remember when I... Let me ask you this. Well, thank you of Christ right now. Right now. Don't burden yourself over trying to think back. How sincere was I? How sincere are we now? Who is He now? His omniscience. Thanks be unto Him who sees, He knows hell, He knows destruction, He knows the refuge of lies. But I'll tell you this, thanks be unto Him, He sees the only hope for a sinner. He who sees the false refuge of a rebel also sees that new heart, that new mind that He's imparted to the objects of His mercy. He knows. Born from above. Born of the Spirit. He who has ever seen His people in electing grace and gave them under the Son, who would surely live and die for them under His judgment, being made what they are, sin. God Almighty sees. He knows what He has eternally purposed to do. He beholds His people, objects of His mercy, who are in themselves dust. Oh, I am so thankful when I hear this verse read again. I thought about it last Wednesday night when we had the Lord's Supper. It is not how much I'm just going to talk about me for a second in closing. It's not how faithful He's seen me as even the pastor of Katy Baptist Church. If you only knew how many times I'll leave this church feeling so empty, so helpless, thinking, Lord, how many things have distracted my mind today? Lord, how many scriptures have I read? How much have I learned? I see in me there dwells no good thing. Leaving this church after being here all day studying and just feeling great of myself just doesn't happen. I'll just be honest with you. How many times have I stood in this pulpit and tried to preach? Tried to pray? Tried to set forth, and all the while knowing if that was the standard by which I was going to be accepted before God, But he said this, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more the souls, the hearts of men. Lord, look upon me. You that sees and knows all things, Lord, have mercy on me for Christ's sake. Lord, that which He has done, Lord, that which He has imputed to me, look not, Lord, on my righteousness, because I don't have any that's worthy to be looked at. All of my righteousness is filthy rags. But to look upon Him, Lord, the Scripture says, He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. But Lord, as Peter said, when the Lord came, He said, Peter, you love me. That last time He asked Peter, He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. For a believer, he knows that he has a heart for Christ. It grieves him because what he sees in himself, and he realizes he goes through this world under the watchful eye of Him that knows all things. I know I'm not fooling him. I know that. I know this. It is by grace that I've been saved. And know it by faith. Through it by faith. For by grace He is saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Lord, You whose eyes are upon all things, hell, destruction, souls of men. Lord, thank You that You'd look upon me in Christ and have mercy on me for Christ's sake.